Disclaimer. This podcast is my own, and the views expressed by me and my guests on this podcast do not reflect the opinions of PSA Collectors or any other company that engages me for appraisal services. Neither myself nor my guests provide any financial or investment advice on this podcast, and any discussions of valuations for collectibles, either in the past or the present, does not guarantee future performance. Enjoy the show. Welcome to another episode of the Sports Appraiser Podcast. Today, we have Enzo Ferrari from Private Collection Insurance. He's going to talk about what he does, why he does it, who he helps. Really interesting for me because being an appraiser, the insurance side of the business is also equally as important. So that's why I'm really excited to have him on today. So without further ado, Enzo, welcome to the pod.
Thank you, and really appreciate you having me on. It's I'm very excited to talk to you about the exciting topic of insurance.
Absolutely. Tell the listeners why you got into the insurance business and when you started Private Collection Insurance.
Yeah, so I've been in the insurance business probably, probably about 30 years now. House, car, business, the normal types of insurance. And, during the pandemic, I started collecting again sports cards. And I was sitting at my dining room table with a bunch of cards and realized, the value started to add up as my collection started to get bigger. And I quickly realized that in Canada, anyway, there really isn't any specifically focused insurance company or brokerage that looks after collectibles or high valued items. So I started the business almost like as a hobby and to kind of take care of my own collection to make sure I was covered properly. And, lo and behold, a couple of years later, we're really starting to get traction in the community. And it's a lot of fun for me because it kind of marries both, obviously my collector passion as well as what I do for a living.
And do you work with collectors, museums, auction houses? Maybe it's all the above.
It is all the above, yeah. We do retailers, we do museums, we do art galleries, sports card shops, a lot of collectors, obviously. We attend the shows and really beginning to form a lot of good relationships with the collector community.
Now, I know you're a lifelong collector, so do you remember the day that you started collecting or the item that you first bought and what was it and where were you and kind of what was that memory?
Yeah. So, I was collecting, I don't know if you call it a collector at the time, but as a child, me and my friends would run over to the local store and buy as many hockey card packs as we could possibly get and sit around for hours and, chewing that gum that came with the packs back in the day. But we were always we were always collecting the cards and, some of us were Leaf fans, Maple Leaf fans, and some of us were Montreal Canadian fans. So we'd always have like a kind of rivalry of which cards we ended up opening up and always having kind of a good laugh about it. But I didn't really get serious into collecting probably until the late 80s. And at the time, my girlfriend bought me a Wayne Gretzky rookie card, which, I have here today, back in the 80s. And again, it was ungraded at the time and it was just a raw card. And again, back then it really wasn't as crazy as it is today in the collector community. Still quite kind of expensive for a piece of cardboard back then. But it's that's kind of my earliest memory in terms of being a collector, receiving that card and getting the feeling of it was just an awesome feeling to have that card.
Mm-hmm. And so you must be enjoying the playoffs, the NHL playoffs, because there's a lot of Canadian hockey teams this year.
Yeah, unfortunately, my Maple Leafs did the same thing they usually do and bow out a little bit early. But now we have the Edmonton Oilers, so definitely cheering for Edmonton and Connor McDavid and, probably the best hockey player in the world right now. Canadian boy. I'm watching a lot of hockey. And again, unfortunately, the Leafs, we kind of seen this movie before where they have a great regular season and bow out of the playoffs a little bit too earlier for what we like.
Yeah, been there, done that. I mean, I'm a Chicago guy, so it kind of happens a lot to us too, especially with the Bulls against the Miami Heat. There are a lot of insurance companies out there. Tell us, why is private collection insurance different from the others? What is a main point of differentiation for you?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of key points when we try to differentiate private collection. And really, one of the reasons I started the company is, number one, we are collectors. We understand the business inside and out. Whereas, you know, most normal insurance companies or people that you deal with, brokerages or agencies, you know, they're busy doing house and car and business insurance and all other types of kind of products. Whereas private collection, all we do is collectibles and high valued assets. So we really understand the business inside and out. So when you can talk to a collector, and that's all we do all day long is insure collections, you're really speaking to specialists that can really guide you through the process of, you know, best practices, what you should insure, and even the products we're offering. Most insurance companies aren't going to be able to offer, you know, A, the coverages, and B, the competitive rates that we're able to offer being a specialist.
Tell us, what do you insure? I know it's sports collectibles, but will you also insure an Elvis Presley signed album? Will you insure a Superman comic book? What does that look like?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the fun part of what I do, is it's not just sports cards. It's memorabilia, it's vinyl records, it's comic books, it's watches, it's jewelry, anything of high value or collectible. So I really get to meet a lot of different collectors, and everybody's got a different passion. You know, we have one of our clients collects guitars, you know, signed guitars. Another one has a huge vinyl collection. Some others have wine and whiskey collections that we insure. So we really get a really good gamut of what anything collectible. And it's really fun, like I said, to meet these collectors, and everybody's got a bit of a different passion. You know, even in the sports card community, I mean, you might be a Michael Jordan guy and that's all you collect. You might be a hockey guy and that's all you collect. Me personally, you know, with the name Enzo Ferrari, I'm a big Ferrari collector. That's the bulk of my collection. Topps came out with a 2020, they finally came out with sports cards for F1 drivers. So I've been a big F1 card collector, as well as some other Ferrari memorabilia. But it's really enjoyable. Like I said, everybody's got a story. It's a great community. Everybody kind of helps each other out. You know, and if you're looking for something, you know, there's 20 guys helping you find something that's rare, which is, again, part of the beauty of the industry and what I really love about it. It's forming, you know, relationships with like yourself, and hearing your stories and the people that you meet in the industry.
What are some of the biggest reasons why people would not insure their collection?
Yeah, so again, probably two big reasons. One is, most people, I think, believe that it's covered under their house insurance. You know, they have this big contents limit under their homeowner's policy, and most people think that if a claim were to occur, a flood, a fire, a theft, that is going to be covered under the contents, which I can guarantee you it's 100% not. There's very specific limits on an insurance policy, on a homeowner's policy, where, you know, they may cover you up to $1,000 or $2,000, but that's not really going to cover much of your collection. And the second part is, usually they think it's going to be super expensive to insure and to itemize the collectibles. I mean, I can tell you, we've had premiums as low as $150 for a collection, which is very reasonable and very affordable to most collectors. I mean, obviously it's a smaller collection, but those are really the two reasons. A, it's already covered under the homeowner's policy, which is not, and then premium. I think a lot of collectors think that it's going to be super expensive to insure their collection.
Is there like a rule of thumb, like, if you have a $1 million sports collectibles collection, like, what would the annual premium be? Is it 2%? Is it 3%? Is it, who knows? I don't know, 5%.
Yeah, so a lot of the underwriting, it's still the, like, again, we ask a few questions. Obviously, where you live, your geographical location, what kind of security systems do you have? Do you have a safe? Is it kept all in one place? So it's very difficult for me to give kind of ballpark figures. But what I can say is, obviously, the more security you have, if you have a safe, obviously a monitored alarm system is something that is almost mandatory these days. Geographically, again, there's certain areas in Canada and the US where, you know, unfortunately, crime is just more rampant than in other areas. So we really take like a whole, we have to have all the information, obviously, to give a proper valuation on in terms of premium. But I could say it's very affordable considering, you know, we do have collectors with $1 million plus collections, and it's very affordable.
And let's say someone insures their collection through you, and God forbid there's a claim. What does the claim process look like? Do they call you? Do they go to their website? How long does it take? What types of forms do they have to fill out?
Yeah, so hopefully that never happens to collectors, but it does happen. We've had claim situations. It's a pretty seamless process, and, you know, kind of tying in with what you do, obviously the more information you have about your collection and the detail, and if you have appraisals, it makes the claims process go a lot quicker. But normally, you know, you'll call our office, we'll report the claim to the insurance company. They'll, you know, obviously do an investigation. And when I say investigation, it's not really like they come and investigate you. It's they need to know what happened. Obviously, if it's a theft, there's a police report usually involved. If it's a fire, you know, they do their background in terms of what the claim was. And then usually, again, if your documentation is proper and we did the insurance policy, you know, properly, it's usually a 2-week process where, you know, the check will be in the collector's hands within a 2-week period. Very seamless. We try to make it very seamless. And, you know, obviously there's an emotional attachment to collections. It's not like your standard contents coverage claim. It's not like your sofa went missing or, you know, your TV or your laptop. This is usually, there's a very big emotional attachment to that. And we really try to understand that when we're dealing with people that have a claim, there's a little bit more emotion involved. Because it might be a collection that's, you know, you've been collecting for 20 years and now it's gone.
You said it's a 2-week process. After 2 weeks, someone gets a check. Obviously, that's generally speaking. But I am shocked. I thought you were going to say 6 months, 12 months. You're saying weeks, which is just incredible to me.
Yeah. I mean, we've had claims. Again, you know, documentation is obviously the most important thing, right? Like if you know, if they have appraisals on everything, or at least, you know, we have a detailed inventory, it makes it a lot easier. I mean, again, we'll talk about a theft. There's going to be a police report involved in that. We can't put a claim in without some kind of police report. So the claim has happened. It's not like, you know, can't be, if it's fraudulent, well, you know, they'll investigate that stuff. But yeah, usually it's a two-week process.
Incredible. Okay. That's really important, actually, because I think that's one thing people always ask themselves, because again, God forbid, a claim is the worst case situation. No one wants to, you know, have that happen. But like you said, it does happen. You have clients that, unfortunately, that happens. And just to be able to know that in a matter of weeks, not months or years, that you'll be, you know, reimbursed, that's amazing. Because I think when it comes to auto insurance, it's very different, where, yeah, you know, it takes God knows how long to get a check from XYZ large automobile insurer. So this is really interesting, kind of eye-opening for me. Now, you talked a few minutes ago about appraisals when it comes to, insurance. Do you recommend appraisals for everything or just for high-value collections? What does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, the more appraisals you have of your collection, the better. Obviously, it's impossible, you know, on the lower scale cards or collectible that you have to have an appraisal for every little thing. But, you know, having an appraisal on your high valued items, you know, your top 10 or your top 20 is definitely something we strongly recommend. It is really the foundation of your protection for your collection. I mean, this is what insurance companies use, you know, first of all, to assess the risk, to set the premiums. And then, you know, again, God forbid there's a claim. This is what they're going to use to settle a claim. So the more documentation, again, I've been doing this for 30 years in the insurance business, not just on collectibles, but, you know, anything. The more documentation you have, the better it's going to be when you do, and you know, when you do have a claim.
In general, would you say people are underinsured or overinsured?
In general, you know, underinsured for sure. I mean, there's a big struggle even to get people to buy insurance in this community. It's, you know, so even if they have insurance, at least that's a step forward. But usually, I find they're still undervaluing what they're collections are worth. And you know, you're only going to get paid out on a claim what we're insuring the limit for. So you know, from experience, again, you know, I find that most collectors don't have insurance at all, which, you know, is mind-boggling to me. Again, when I put my insurance hat on, it's you know, I have my collection insured. I would never not insure something of that kind of value. But yeah, normally, again, you know, they underestimate, because as you're aware, these things fluctuate in value too. And, you know, I always tell my clients, go a little bit over and above what you think your collection is worth. And that way you're protected from fluctuations. And, you know, as you know, in the market, it's generally going up. Again, if you have a very specific collection, as time goes on, the values go up. So I always kind of recommend, you know, you don't have to go crazy, but I think a little bit higher than what the actual value is, just to give yourself a little bit of a buffer. So again, if you do have a claim, you know, you're not sitting there with money out of your pocket.
I think in general, our hobby needs to do more education on insurance and appraising. A couple of years ago at the National in Chicago, so every year I have a booth, and there are these two young kids, they're teenagers, they were talking to themselves in front of my booth. And I just said, hey guys, come over here. You know, and I asked them a couple of questions about what they have, because each of them had a Zion, you know, case. Yes. And they started showing them to me, and I'm looking, and you know, I'm an appraiser, so I know values. This is what I do for a living. And each kid, again, maybe they were 16, 17 years old, had between $100,000 and $200,000 in cards. Yeah. And so I asked them two questions. Have you ever had these cards appraised? And the second question are these cards insured? They looked at me like I was crazy, like they're at a card show. Who am I to come up to them and ask them talk about insurance and appraising? And as you know, there's thefts every single year at card shows, especially the National. So it happens. No one ever thinks it's going to happen. But then when it happens and then you're not insured, then you're kind of SOL, right?
Absolutely. It's, you know, I get anxiety going to a lot of these shows because, again, my background is risk management. And I see, you know, I use that example. Not the same one, but I use that example. I see kids and adults walking around with these little cases, you know, with hundreds of thousands of dollars. They're at a restaurant and they just leave them on the table while they're eating. And, you know, again, I just, my mind works risk management and why are you taking that kind of a risk? Because as you know, the world has changed these days and the values of these cards, I mean, they're like gold almost now. It's not, you're not talking about a few hundred dollars. You're usually talking thousands and thousands. And sometimes, as you mentioned, hundreds of thousands of dollars. These, you know, the kids are walking around or adults walking around with big knapsacks full of cards. Even the dealers I meet at a lot of these shows, they don't even have insurance. And I mean, if you've been to a show, you see 30 people around the table and there's one guy manning the table. And I'm sitting there going, how are you tracking? You know, like, again, my brain thinks risk management. How are you tracking cards and what people are doing around your booth? But hey, and that's part of like what you said, education for me is probably the biggest thing. That's our biggest challenge and what we really want to bring to the community as well with the company. as we go to more and more of these shows and as we speak to more and more people and get more clients, it's, you know, it's a huge topic of conversation, which is great because that's what I want to do. I want to educate people about the risks.
Now, you and your company are based in Canada, but do you also insure collections in the United States?
Right now, due to licensing, the insurance industry is obviously very regulated. We are not able to offer coverage in the U.S., but I will say we are working on it, and I'm hoping within the next, you know, hopefully by the end of the year, we should have some, hopefully, partnerships with some insurance companies and brokerages and agencies in the U.S. where we are able to offer this type of coverage. Because again, you know, even in the U.S., there's not really a lot of people doing this. And there's, I know there's a need for it. And, you know, if we can fill that gap as a business and protect the community and educate the community, we're all for it.
I agree. Where can we find you on Instagram and what's your website?
Yeah. So the website for the company is privatecollectioninsurance.com, all one word. We also have an Instagram page with the same name, Private Collection Insurance, so at Private Collection Insurance. And then my own personal page, which is probably the, you know, another one to, because I'm doing a lot of posting on insurance and appraisals and just educating. It's at Enzo Ferrari 68 on Instagram.
Wonderful. Now, I know you have a couple items that you want me to appraise.
Yes.
And this is always the most exciting part for me because I get to see what, you know, people have and they want to know what the value is. So without further ado, what did you bring me today?
So my first card is a rookie Dan Fouts. Back when they played for San Diego, this is my favorite team, the San Diego Chargers or the LA Chargers now. So this is a Dan Fouts Topps rookie card, PSA 9.
A PSA 9. And tell us why, you know, you're in Canada. Why do you like San Diego so much?
It just happened. I remember as a kid, again, growing up watching Dan Fouts and his receivers. He was one of the best passers in the league back then. And I just fell in love with the team. And I've been a Charger fan probably since the late 70s. They've been my team. And again, another team that really hasn't done much in terms of winning, but I Dan Fouts was one of my idols growing up in terms of his on field play and off the field. He seemed like a gentleman player.
Yeah, no, I've heard great things about him. Okay, so his rookie card PSA 9 is under $100.
Okay,
what's next?
So this is the card I was talking about earlier. This is my Wayne Gretzky rookie card, probably the most iconic card in collectibles, I think, from what I understand. And that's this is the one I got at Christmas back in the 80s, and it's a PSA 5 Gretzky rookie card.
And this is the Opeachy version?
This is the Opeachy version, 1979. Yeah, this is, you know, just a beautiful card. And, you know, I'd never sell it for sentimental values, but it's, you know, it means a lot to me. And I think everybody that collect sports cards needs one of these in their collections.
Now, is this the same one that your girlfriend bought you all those decades ago?
Yeah. And this is actually the card, funny story, you know, during COVID, I heard that a Wayne Gretzky rookie card sold for millions of dollars. And this is kind of what rekindled my passion. I went, you know, this card's been floating around in my basement for about 25 years, never really paid any attention to it. It wasn't graded at the time. I had it in a screw top case, which apparently is not the best way to keep a card, but back then nobody really knew that. After this, you know, I had it graded, and I, again, it kind of rekindled my passion. And really a big reason why I started Private Collection Insurance was because of this card.
Let's move that card closer to the screen so I can get a better look at it.
I don't know if there's a glare, but
a little bit of a glare. Yep, there it is. PSA 5 rookie. Beautiful, beautiful card. And I do agree with you. I think everyone should own, you know, a card like that. It doesn't have to be the Opeachy. It could be the Topps version, you know, but there's two different versions. As you know, the Opeachy is more rare, more valuable, and usually has that, like, the edge is cut from the, it's not cut like the Topps cards are. The and I'm drawing a blank on the name, but the way that the and the printing press that it sliced it, you can kind of tell that it's a peachy without even looking at the back. Okay, but the value on that would be between $1,500 and $2,000 for 1979 Opeachy Wayne Gretzky rookie in a PSA 5.
Wow, that's great. I mean, again, for me, the value is kind of secondary. It's having these cards, and it's great to know the value. And thank you very much for appraising them. You know, again, what you're doing in the communities is needed. And obviously the value add service that you do to help collectors understand their collections is fantastic.
Well, thank you very much. And I think that you also have a very similar, you know, that's why I was so excited to talk to you, because there's, you know, plenty of dealers out there who I know and people who buy and sell. And these are all great people. But to your point earlier, I do think there is a need in the marketplace for a company like yours. And, you know, we do need to do a lot more education so that people become educated, because still a lot of people don't insure their collections. And I also think about these assets from a risk perspective. And when I hear that they're not being insured, you know, I just cringe, because they should. And I have no, you know, personal attachment to insurance companies, but I just know that things happen sometimes, and that's why we have insurance.
Yeah.
And especially these collections that I see a lot of times are worth more than someone's entire piece of real estate, their house. And so their house, you know, has insurance, but the collections don't. And to me, it's just mind-boggling. So thank you for coming on the pod today. I hope all the listeners will gravitate to our website. And if you have any questions, they can reach out to you on Instagram. And I look forward to seeing you sometime later this year.
Well, thank you very much for having me and bringing awareness to this subject. It's, again, like I said, it's very important. But yeah, I love talking to you as well. And yeah, we'll see each other very shortly, I'm sure.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Enzo.
Thanks, Michael.